Well, the next few days will tell what direction we're going in with COVID. Despite our high vaccination rates, the number of COVID cases is up 45% in the past week. There were 1,627 new cases yesterday. 415 people are in hospital with COVID and 70 are in intensive care. Let's talk about all of this now with Dr. Cliona Ní Chealaigh, who's an infectious diseases and internal medicine physician at St. James's Hospital in Dublin. Good morning, Dr. Ní Chealaigh.
Good morning.
On a knife edge is what Philip Nolan said yesterday about the numbers. How do you read the latest figures?
So I agree, I think, and I agree exactly with what you said. The next few days will be really informative. Even the numbers that come out between now and Monday will give us some information, because we know from our experience with the virus, one of the few things that we know for sure is that, you know, once things start to grow, they can grow very rapidly. You can see that exponential, that really rapid growth in cases. So we'll just have to see what the coming days bring.
Do you have, don't you, a particular concern about pregnant women?
I do. So thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to say this. So, you know, there are pregnant women in ICU at the moment. There have been pregnant women in intensive care who have been unvaccinated throughout this year, really. These particular variants that we've been dealing with more recently seem to particularly affect pregnant women. And it's just such a terrible situation for the woman, for her partner, for the baby, that I really couldn't encourage women who are pregnant to get vaccinated strongly enough. It's really so important, because being pregnant really increases your chances of getting very severely unwell with COVID, of ending up in ICU with COVID, and it's so important for pregnant women to get vaccinated.
And in terms of admission to ICU, how's that working in terms of pregnant women at the moment?
So I don't have how many pregnant women are in ICU right at this moment, but in July and August, there were 10 pregnant women in ICU, and that was a time when cases were much lower than they are at the moment. And it's just a very, very difficult situation, obviously, because you're trying to care for two people in that scenario. You're trying to care for the mum and for the fetus, and it's very difficult. And it's a very difficult start to life with a new baby, to be coming care stay, trying to care for a new baby.
Good. There was a little bit of dropout there on the line, but we'll continue nonetheless. You know, when somebody's pregnant, they are so very careful, you know, even in terms of taking a paracetamol, they are so very reluctant, you know, even in terms of their diet, they'll be so careful. A vaccine, What do you say to pregnant women who are concerned that, you know, something that they would put into their body could have an effect on the pregnancy?
So it's, you know, totally understandable. I've been pregnant myself. I have two kids. You don't drink, you know, coffee. You don't drink Coca-Cola. You don't eat cheese. But getting a vaccine, getting a COVID vaccine is a really important thing to do to keep yourself and your baby safe. So there's no evidence of any risk to the mom or to the baby from COVID vaccines. And there is incredibly strong evidence of the huge increase in risk to women when they're pregnant, that if they get COVID, they're at hugely increased risk of becoming very severely unwell, needing to go to intensive care. That level of unwell, you know, very, very severely life-threateningly unwell, which is a huge risk for the mom and the baby. So really, if you want to keep yourself safe and your baby safe, the safe thing to do is to get a vaccine.
Do you think people are slipping up on sanitisation and social distancing? Could that be partly what's driving the numbers we're seeing at the moment?
So to be honest, I don't think that hand sanitising is a good thing to do, and it's important. It's probably not the be-all and end-all in terms of COVID. COVID is much more airborne. You know, it's wearing masks, it's ventilation, it's who you're seeing, it's who you're spending time in an enclosed indoor airspace with. People's lives have gone much more back to normal. People are dining indoors. People are back in the workplace. So I'm not sure if it's slippage so much as we're just at a different stage of what we're doing in society. I'm not sure whether people are slipping up that much. I think, you know, we're dealing with winter conditions. We're dealing with people being back in the workplace, back in school, back in university. And all of those things, of course, are making transmission easier.
And just, I don't know, do you have a personal view in terms of reopening next week? Would you like to see vaccine certs kept? Would you like to see 2 meter distancing kept? Are we, you know, running a gamble here that really we should afford to be a bit more cautious in your view?
All decisions with COVID are a gamble. Every decision, you know, that we've had to make from the start is weighing up risks and benefits with what we know at the time and making those decisions. I think what's important is we need to keep thinking about what, in addition to vaccination, we do to keep everybody safe, whether that's looking at ventilation in indoor spaces, whether that's looking at keeping vaccine certs for a little bit longer, all those different strategies that help reduce risk, because it's not a black and white choice. It's really how safe, what are all the steps we can take to keep people safe?
Because it's very hard for people to get their heads around the fact that we have one of the highest vaccination rates in Europe and also one of the highest incidence levels at the moment.
We do. I mean, I think what we're not seeing is people who are fully vaccinated, unless they have a reason that their immune system doesn't work as it should. So people, you know, who've had cancer, people who have had organ transplants, people who are old and frail, in all of those cases, their immune system isn't able to mount the vaccine response that we need. What we're not seeing is people who are fully vaccinated getting very sick and needing to come into hospital, mm-hmm. be on high levels of oxygen or go into ICU. So the vaccinations are definitely doing their job there. What they don't seem to be able to do by themselves, despite us having a wonderful vaccination rate, is to stop those levels of transmission happening in the community by themselves.
So does that mean you have a view, therefore, on the need for booster shots for that issue of, you know, while the vaccine goes on providing protection against severe disease and death and hospitalisation, it doesn't appear over time to be as effective at stopping transmission?
So I suppose the data that's coming out looks like booster shots may be needed at some point. But in terms of bang for our buck, I think, and I'm not the first nor the last person to say this, we really need to also think about getting getting vaccines out worldwide. So there are huge swathes of the world in which very, very few people are vaccinated. And what that means is that those are breeding grounds for variants like Delta, but worse, you know, that may be totally resistant to vaccines. So yes, we need to consider boosters. Data is coming out all the time that'll inform us on what to do. We can do boosters, but we also need to think about the other things that we need to do to keep ourselves safe. And global vaccination is probably the number one there.
And finally, Dr. Nichiali, this wave at the moment is being driven by the unvaccinated. That was clear from the figures from the HSE's Anne O'Connor yesterday. To those unvaccinated, the 300,000 who haven't so far, and obviously pregnant women, that would be a different category and their concerns would be different. But to those who are described as anti-vax or vaccine hesitant, what do you think you could say to them now that wouldn't have persuaded them up to now?
I think it's about listening to people's concerns, you know, and really trying to address those. There's a lot of misinformation out there about COVID vaccines. It doesn't affect your fertility, for example. That's one that I've seen out there. It doesn't leave long-lasting changes to your genes. But really, I'd encourage people who are hesitant to talk to somebody they trust and to discuss their concerns. And, you know, the evidence is that the vaccines are very safe.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much indeed for talking to us this morning. That's Dr. Clea Nichiali from St. James's Hospital in Dublin.